Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. With a troubled economy and government spending out of control, they've been forced to promote loose money policies, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. Birch Gold Group can help you protect your savings by rolling over all or a portion of your IRA or 401k into an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the best gold prices in years and enjoy the long-term hedge against inflation that gold provides by moving into a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today for a free consultation on how a tax-free rollover to a gold IRA can offer stability, protection, and the peace of mind that your life savings, which you've worked so hard to build, is safe. Call 888-999-1351 and receive Birch Gold's free information kit, which offers the best-kept secrets for safeguarding your savings with gold. Call 888-999-1351. That's 888-999-1351.
Real life stories of the Legal Exchange. Sundays 2 to 3, AM 1120, WBNW.
The following program is wholly sponsored and produced by Stu Taylor on Business, which is responsible for its content. The opinions and information provided on today's show are those of the guests and or their respective companies and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station. It is strongly recommended that all listeners conduct their own due diligence on all companies mentioned and or seek out the advice and counsel of a financial professional. The guests on this show may pay a fee to appear on the show and are not affiliated with the show in any manner. This is Stu Taylor on Business. Now, Stu Taylor.
All right, good morning. I'm sure you're all getting enough of a dose of what went on in Dallas and, of course, what's going on with Hillary. We'll pick that up next week. I think I need a break from this, so we'll get back to business. Joining us this morning to open up is John Rosso. He's a business development expert specializing in executive sales consulting and sales productivity training. He's part of an organization that has been represented on this show many times, Sandler Training, which dominates the global training market through a tremendous network of more than 250 offices worldwide. Professional trainers providing more than 450,000 hours a year and instruction in 23 languages. You really should check this out. It's a proven system. Here's the website. It's sandler.com. How am I doing? Is my application for a job going to be approved? Good morning, John. The book, The Prospect, The Sandler Way, a 30-day program for mastering stress-free lead development, and it is published by Sandler Training. Good morning.
Morning, Stu. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us, and by and large, and actually, when I say by and large, I'm kind of creating the impression there's something I'm leaving out. It's pretty difficult to disagree with anything you say, but the book says. But just give us an overview of the book in context with our changing society culturally and technologically and how important it is to use social media now. It's a different world.
It is a different world. You know, you think in the old days, life was sort of local, right? You'd walk in and you'd see your insurance agent, and then life became regional, and now certainly life is global. I can go to www.getmeawidget.com, and you're competing with the world. So things have changed, and certainly prospecting or getting in front of decision makers, either by phone or ultimately to book that appointment, has changed. And you hear a lot about selling 2.0 or prospecting 2.0, which is using social media effectively, and there are a lot of people who are claiming that phone conversation is likely dead, and I found that to be completely opposite of the truth. However, tools clearly like Google and Twitter and LinkedIn really can, used well, can help facilitate a well-researched conversation to connect at a business-to-business level with decision-makers, because most salespeople say, I'm great when I get in front of a decision-maker. The hardest part of my job is prospecting, because it's been done so poorly for so many years that there's a conditioned reflex response from a buyer, a decision-maker picking up the phone call and saying, you caught me in the middle of the meeting. I don't have time right now. I don't have any interest. Can you call me back in 6 months? And every other defense wall that sort of shuts people down, and they create their own mess sometimes.
Yeah, now you have in the book something that I run into, that everybody runs into every day, somebody in a store, and they're trained in my sense, inappropriately. It's nothing wrong with being courteous. Can I help you? And no, just looking. Or when someone calls me, and I'm acutely aware of the sensitivity in the interactive process, and the first thing they say, and I'm not necessarily saying this is terrible, but when they say to me, how are you today? Right away, it's a tip-off that it's a sales call. And number two, they don't give a you-know-what about how I am. So let's just get right to it and get to it diplomatically and get to it succinctly. What are they doing wrong? Or am I just too crotchety and grouchy?
I wish it was just you, Stu. You're right. I've listened to thousands of people make what we would call the approach call. And almost every single one's got this nervous tick of, how are you? Hey, Stu, John Rosser from ABC, how are you today? H-A-Y-T. We now call that a hate crime, H-A-Y-T. because the minute you do that, you can feel that prospect's defense wall descending. And so what we talk about is, don't be sing-songy. Don't be overly enthusiastic. Don't be mother may I, please, if you don't. Have a good, just a business conversation. Use your first 8 to 10 seconds to sell a 3 to 5 minute business conversation. And often we call it a pattern interrupt, which is doing something anything other than the stereotypical triggers that draw that conditioned response of, I'm not interested, send me some information, call me in 6 months, you caught me in the middle of a meeting. And an example of it might be as simple as Stu picking up the phone and me going, hey, Stu, John Rosso, looking for some help, Stu. I don't know if it's going to make sense for you and I to talk. I am reaching out to you for two specific reasons. Let me tell you what they are, then let's figure out if we should talk further, if that works for you.
See, I love this approach, and you talk about avoiding the dance. I hate the dance. I've lived it. I've been around it for years. I've been in sales all of my life. I just want to give you two examples, and I hate to let the cat out of the bag on a lot of things that some of them I consider personal, but for purposes of being somewhat pedantic here, I've pretty much given up doing all these trade shows, but I've done, for example, many, many mining shows. I know probably 300 CEOs of mining companies, and they know who I am. But if I'm at a major show and there's a lot of traffic and there's a lot of people, I walk right in. And I asked them if they're interested in a campaign on radio. I said, if you're looking for the retail market and you want coverage and you don't have it on radio, I'm for you. Otherwise, I'm going to save you time. Thanks for your time. And I leave. They love it. There are some people who are on the fence who are so impressed with the approach that I'm not trying to jam something down their throat that it opens the door. That's example number one. Let me give you example number two, and that'll give you a great chance to respond. If someone, sure. If I'm in a dialogue with someone, and there's a pending sale there, but it's quite obvious I'm not going to make this sale. I'm just not going to make it forward. No money, no interest. And they say, well, but they leave the door open and say, I'm interested, but I can't do it right now, because I immediately agree with them and say that I do the same thing, and I'll call them at a specific date when they give me a choice. I know that's a lot to digest, but I wanted to get it out.
Yeah, I think you're doing tremendous stuff there. We put that under the banner of what we would call disarming honesty, which is at times, as a salesperson, being authentic enough and conversational enough to say things that are true that seem clearly not to be in your best interest, right? Hey, listen, if you're not looking for that radio campaign, I can save you a whole lot of time. It's not for everybody. Is being disarmingly honest and giving people that permission to say no to you is empowering, and it's so counterintuitive. I've talked to 250,000 salespeople where I ask them this question, some version of why should I work with you, and everybody says quality, service, expertise, value. It doesn't matter if you're selling third-party logistics solutions or paper that goes in the copiers. They all sound the same. And so on a scale of 0 to 10, before a relationship of trust and comfort has been developed, if you give me these same 4 or 5 phrases of quality and service and expertise, on a scale of 0 to 10, it's tended to be perceived as a 2, a 3, as opposed to saying, Again, here's an example of disarming honesty. John, why should I work with you? You know, Stu, it's not an easy answer, and I think maybe the best way to answer it is if you ask some of our longer-term clients, they would share with you that they appreciate our expertise and our client service after the sale, but depending upon what you're looking for, and really depending upon what you're getting today, I don't know the answer to that. You might be better staying off with who you have, but can I ask you a couple questions? Can you and I sort of back up? Let me ask you a few straightforward, direct questions about what you're getting in the area of X, and then you and I can figure out that we bring value. And if not, it's okay. We're good, but we're not right for every situation. So that's an example of being very disarmingly honest, which changes. There's a lot that went on there. My credibility went up. Her defense wall went down, and we've actually switched poles. She was the one asking the questions, and I was doing a salesperson dance. And she's willingly agreed in this example to be the one answering questions so that we can determine, is there a legitimate business fit? If so, we would love to do business. If not, no hard feelings.
Yeah, I mean, you're hitting everything right on the nail here, right on the head. And I just want to add in here, and I didn't write the book. The book is Prospect the Sandler Way, a 30-day program for mastering stress-free lead development by John Rosso. The foreword is by David Mattson, who's a principal at Sandler Training. You want to get this book. Sandler Training is the publisher. Two things I want to add before you go about selling things. It's more than technique. It's more than process. You better have a product that is saleable. You better have a service that is saleable. Or it's not going to matter. You'll go around once. But I thought I'd throw that in. We'll come back with John Russell right after these messages.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-439-MYTV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-439-MYTV. That's 1-877-439-MYTV.
Cancel the cable. Cut costs and get more.
Call 877-439-MYTV. That's 1-877-439-MYTV.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
BizTalkRadio.com. The Financial Exchange, weekdays 10 to noon, 1120 AM WBNW.
Hi, this is Kimberly Guilfoyle from the Fox News Channel, co-host of The Five, and I've been on with Stu Taylor. What a guy. Where has he been all my life?
All right, a great song from the 50s by the Turbans, When You Dance, and I think it's appropriate here because as I talk with my guest, John Rosso, the author of Prospect, The Sandler Way, a 30-day program for mastering stress-free lead development. Part of what John talks about in his book is kind of avoiding the dance, avoid that dance, and in one sense, get right to it. But John, what's important when people think, oh, okay, I'll become rather mechanical, rather robotical, I'll memorize something and I'll be in there. You can't lose or not use the humanization process because we're all individuals and we can adopt sales techniques and learn everything. But if you don't humanize the approach, you're not going to connect.
Yeah, if you can't find a way to establish that connection of comfort and trust and credibility and equal business stature, you can do everything technically accurate, but you're certainly not going to win because people still buy emotionally, whether it's B2 bombers or B2 pencils. People are buying emotionally, and they buy people who they feel understand them, their issues, their company. So you've got to be authentic. Now, should you have a template? Should you have a script and read it? I think you're kind of insane a little bit if you do. Should you have a template? Clearly. Without a template, what a template allows you to do is free you up from the mundane basics of structuring an effective, in this case, call, so that you can really concentrate on being in that moment and listening and playing off that prospect's responses. So clearly, please be authentic. If you had to choose between authentic and being 100% scripted, be authentic.
Authenticity is so important. And maybe you can make some distinctions with the Sandler training system. And I wish we could even get underway here, but there's so much people are going to have to read the book. And I think about, you know, the old-fashioned process, and I used to write sales training manuals for Volkswagen, et cetera, using B.F. Skinner's conditioning process, positive reinforcement, lead them down the path, qualify them, separate the features and the benefits, be able to address negatives. You want to force someone into a forced choice situation, go in for the close. And I'm not saying that doesn't work, but what's different about the Sandler training system?
Yeah, one of the challenges in traditional selling is it's kind of backwards, meaning when I talk to a group of salespeople and I say, tell me how you sell today. If you wanted to get a brand new relationship or a brand new account, what's your process? almost everyone tells me the first thing they do, of course, is a little bit of research, and they're looking to use that research to make a contact. And that makes sense. Back in my old IBM days, we call that the generate interest phase. And then I say, then what? Well, we would generally get an appointment if it's a face-to-face sale, and we would uncover their needs, and I say, then what? And then we present value-added solutions as to what we would do to meet those needs. And I go, wow, sounds cool. And then what? Well, then we attempt to close for commitment. And then what? Well, then we hear all these objections. And if you look at a quality control process, I don't care if it's Kanban, Lean, Six Sigma, you know, if there's a defect in the process, you want to learn it early. And in traditional selling, we only go too often surface deep on what we would call needs, and then we find ourselves magnetically drawn to want to share our features and benefits before we really understand where it fits in priority, specific real-life examples, tangible and intangible impacts to the key stakeholders, the commitment level and priority in the business to fix it. What's their clear vision of what a solution could look like? Are they willing and able to invest the resources and time? Do we understand their decision-making process, criteria, timeline, showstoppers? I've got to understand a business fit early, so by the time we get to, in quotes, the close is the easiest part because we've had a very effective conversational business talk that really helped understand, is there a true fit and value where both parties win?
All right, having a few technical problems. Are we all set, Laurie, to continue? John, are you with me?
I am with you, yeah.
All right, yeah, sorry, a little technical glitch. A couple of minutes left here. I want to, and again, I just feel I have to take this opportunity to personalize this, and I'll even give the name of the company. Years ago, it was an experiment. I somehow got solicited. You remember Hal? I don't even know if they're still around. Haldane Recruiting, kind of the premier executive recruiting company in the country, been around for years. You know who Haldane is?
I do, yeah.
All right. Haldane called me, kind of begged me to come in, and I have the kind of schedule where I said, I'm just going to try this. I want to see what it's like going to work for someone else. Real quick here, went in, went through their whole process, had clients come to me who were looking to get not only into the consulting end, which I was handling, but the placement end. But the script was so specific that I actually couldn't stand it. And some of them whom I could not close, I realized that if I had been able to interject based upon what response I could give to what they were saying, I could have closed them. But that was, it worked for them. But that wasn't the Haldane way. It wasn't my way. Is it the Sandler way?
No, you've got we've got a lot of Sandler rules, we call them. One is the sales call's not about you. No one cares about you, maybe your mother, right? The sales call's not about you. It's about the other person. And we've got a rule called the 70-30 rule, where ideally our prospect, our customer, is talking 70% of the time. What we're training to do is to really listen and often play off the responses. And I find salespeople don't do a good job on that. So if you say to me, well, John, you know, one of the challenges we have is our sales cycle is just it's taking too long. We've got business in the pipeline, but it just doesn't seem to be coming across the finish line. You know, there's this instinct by salespeople, like a little Hannibal Lecter who wants to chase a piece of meat, to go, oh, my gosh, I can help you. That's what we do. And we've got to slow down the process and listen and say and learn to say, well, when you say it's not necessarily coming off over the finish line, help me understand that. Could you be a little bit more specific? Can you think back and maybe give me a real-life example? Just help me understand it. And we play off those responses, and we understand their world because we both truly want the same thing, the right solution for the company. If I'm that, I want to win that business. If I'm not, I want to move on and find somebody who is. So we really have similar goals. It's just the stereotypes and the culture that's grown up over time surrounding sales that prevent us from getting that relationship.
And so much is common sense based. Your book is organized so that you can learn bit by bit here. Too much, too fast for retention doesn't work, whether it's radio or even reading books. You've got a lot of worksheets and exercises that help. A closing comment maybe based upon that. You've got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think you've it's all about, what Sailor excels in is ongoing reinforcement-based training in small batches of time over longer lengths of time. You know, Sailor trainers are among the best in the world. You can see.
All right, on that note, I've got to cut it or we'll get cut, John. Stay on, John.
Yeah,
John
yeah.
Russo, prospect of Sandler Way. It's been an absolute pleasure. This is Stu Taylor.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, I need to get a grip on my company's spending.
Staples has low prices every day.
So I won't overspend?
Nope. With our price match guarantee, you can always get the lowest price on everything for your office.
Everything?
Everything.
The lowest prices on ink, paper, coffee, ink, folders, notepads, ink, sticky notes, ink, trash pads, ink, binders, and ink?
Need some ink?
A little bit, yeah.
Trust Staples for low prices every day. Staples. Make more happen.
Price match good at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. See store or staples.com for details.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. And you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers, too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
Have you heard? Proactiv Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-726-1031, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv Plus risk-free and get two free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactiv Plus now and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactiv Plus, two free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-726-1031. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-726-1031. That's 800-726-1031.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now. Get a free quote for your husband. And while you're at it, get a quote for yourself, too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658, 800-915-9658.
BizTalkRadio.com. The Legal Exchange, Sundays 9 to 10 a.m., a.m. 1120, WBNW.
This is Governor Mike Huckabee. Whether you're in Beantown or the rest of America, I'm sure you know that if it's the Red Sox, it's Boston. But if it's business, it's Stu Taylor on business.
All right, we are back with our second guest of the day, and Amy Whitaker. Great day today. Some great business education. She's a writer, an artist, a teacher. She has an MBA from Yale. I won't hold that against her, and an MFA in painting from the Slade School of Fine Art at the university at University College in London. Sorry about that. And she's very accomplished as a writer. Her new book is Art Thinking. That's A-R-T, Art Thinking, How to Carve Out Creative Space in a World of Schedules, Budgets, and Bosses. And it is published in hardcover by Harper Business. Amy, welcome. Good morning. It's great to have you on.
Thanks so much, Stu. I'm so happy to be on.
Well, the first thing I thought of when I looked at this is two things that are so contradictory in my own personal life and for a lot of people who generally excel maybe at one skill or two. You come from the creative artistic world as well as a solid business environment. It's a huge schism, I think, in my life. I've made it work without it. But it's kind of an unusual perspective that you take here, but yet I think one that is pragmatic and makes a lot of sense. Having said that, what's the book about? Why'd you write it, and whom is it for?
Yeah, so I mean, I think you're exactly right. I think the book is about how art and business go together. So they are at odds and dependent on one another at the same time, which I think we can all relate to. We probably also know people who are like that as well, kind of at odds you're dependent on them. So the book came about for me because I got an MBA. Thanks for not holding it against me. And
no.
About a year...
it wasn't the MBA, it was Yale.
No, it was the Yale. I understand. You quit. I'm sure you've beat us at football many times. So I got an MBA, and then a year later, I had a lot happen in my personal life. My father died suddenly, and I felt disconnected from my own creative side. I had studied painting and political science in college. So I went for it and took a leap and got an MFA in painting. And so for a while, I felt like a very kind of exotic or strange or narratively incoherent person. And then over time, I realized that actually what I was experiencing was an extreme version of what all of us experience, which is that we live in the midst of one of the largest market economies of all time. But creativity is also innately human and one of the most exciting things that any of us can show up in our life with. And so I wanted to think about how they go together and how really you make space within the market for open-ended exploration. It's kind of like the market economy is a giant ocean.
Yeah.
And it's about how to build a boat inside it that works for you.
I must say, really interesting how about bringing the creative thinking process and the artistic world into business. But what about someone maybe like me who I don't see as being artistic? I guess I have a certain creativity. I don't want to be too harsh on myself, but how do you make someone who doesn't have that makeup and maybe convert them? Or is this something that's instinctive, it's intuitive, it's intrinsic? You can't really develop these qualities that you have.
I am definitely a person who thinks that everyone is an artist. I definitely know a lot of people who will tell me they can't draw a stick figure, but I think everyone has ways that they show up in the world that are inventive and resourceful. I used to host a cookie decorating party. I own a cookie cutter shaped like Elvis Presley. I'm a Memphis native. And I'm telling you, you cannot believe how creative and elaborate the cookies were that were made by the bankers and the lawyers. I think that what's really happening is that we have this idea of the myth of artistic genius, that we all have to embody a story that's exactly like Steve Jobs' story. And the message of the book is that, you know, those people had a before picture to their creativity. They were in the weeds. Things were messy and uncertain. And that's the part of it that's open to all of us.
Yeah, you talk in the book here, and if I am taking this out of context, correct me, but is it fair to say, as I paraphrase, that process matters more than the end product? First of all, is that an accurate statement? Because
yes,
if it isn't,
no,
there won't be a follow-up. Is that accurate?
I completely agree with that, yes.
All right, these aren't my feelings necessarily, but what kind of a corporate what would be the viewpoint from the corporate world? I don't want to pick on anyone, but maybe you can pick on Goldman Sachs or some of these companies who define success as the ultimate client acceptance and ultimately translating on ROI to dollars and cents. Wouldn't they kind of contradict the statement?
Well, so one of the main ideas in the book is that if you're thinking about art in a much broader, more Swiss Army knife way, a work of art is something that's not an act of going from point A to point B, but inventing point B in any area of life. So I would be the first person to say that there is a time and place just to go from A to B. I hugely admire people who are able to execute on projects. There are certainly roles like being a pilot or a surgeon where going from A to B safely is the most important thing. But I think even in those moments, there is a certain amount of creativity that's really a form of independent thinking. So when I say process is more important than outcome, obviously outcome matters, and we have to find ways to build creative process within performance-driven cultures, which is covered in a part of the book. But I think that there's a lot of space for talking about rigor and generosity of the moment of making something. Because even if you succeed wildly as a banker at Goldman Sachs and you build an absolutely beautiful work of art financial model, you still had to do that kind of one foot in front of the other over a period of time. And I would argue that there's actually quite a lot of creativity and resourceful thinking that goes into many parts of the finance world. Some parts of it people don't like. It's a little too creative for their taste. But I think that what we're really talking about is not art in the sense of a painting on the wall, but art in the sense of bringing your full resources as a person and your character and judgment and originality and independent thinking to bear. And that dovetails with a lot of the conversations in leadership and management about diversity of opinion on boards, or more robust thought processes in groups, because there's so many different viewpoints represented.
I want to go back to what you said about going from A to D, but sometimes you have to go to A to B. You've got to get it right at every point, starting with A, if you're a pilot or a surgeon. So does your paradigm, your business model hold for all, are there exceptions? Can't be a learning process in the sense of experimentation when you're in a situation where people's lives are at stake.
Right. Well, I think what we're talking about is that when you're going from A to B, so you're executing in the known world, you're able to do that because at some point prior, someone invented the point B that you're executing toward. So all of these things exist in a portfolio. I think one of the larger frameworks of the book is that we have to think in terms of portfolios of risky and less risky projects. So one of my favorite stories in the book is about Thomas Fogarty, who invented the balloon catheter. He did it because he was a self-professed juvenile delinquent who had to be busy or supervised and got a job in a hospital. And there was a moment when he had his mentor, a guy named Dr. Cranley, use the balloon catheter for the first time. So you have to imagine how risky this was. This was a time when to remove a blood clot, this was in the 50s and early 60s, you opened up the entire length of an artery. Many people died. Many people had limbs amputated. And this guy had to take a risk on a device that was put together by a kid. He was then, by that time, in medical school, who had figured out how to tie the finger of a latex glove to a urethral catheter using fly fishing knots that he learned while literally jumping out of the window to cut school. So you have to imagine Dr. Cranley in the operating room risking using that device for the first time, risking minimally invasive surgery and a tiny incision to pull a clot back out using the balloon as opposed to opening up the artery. And that is an inventing point B moment. So he didn't do that all the time, but he risked that because he had seen so much loss of life or limb based on the prior technology. So the idea of the book is that these things exist all at once, that it's not a binary, that there's a time and a place to go through the pilot's checklist and to land the plane safely. And there's another time and a place, and this is also a story from the introduction, where something goes wrong with the plane and it's your creative resourcefulness that allows you to avert a disaster. So I think it's really that we need to be able to have a conversation about both of these things at the same time, about how to make risk calculations.
We're going to take a break. I'd like to have you come back, all right, after this segment, during the break?
Sure. Thank you.
Okay, great. We're going to have Amy Whitaker rejoin us. The book is Art Thinking, How to Carve Out Creative Space in a World of Schedules, Budgets, and Bosses, a book that I certainly can use. It's published by Harper Business. Stay with us.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services or by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-658-3876. That's 800-658-3876. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-658-3876.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery, and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
BizTalkRadio.com.
IS, morning 6 to 8 on WBNW, 1120 AM.
Hi, I'm Jim Cook, the brewer and founder of Sam Adams, and a friend of Stu Taylor. He's a great interviewer. He brings out the best in everybody that he talks to, and he helped me sell some books. Cheers.
All right. You know, sometimes I wish that some of the conversation that goes on during the break would be on air, but sometimes it happens and sometimes it just doesn't. And a delightful conversation between segments with Amy Whitaker, who has a book out. And it's not because I had an enjoyable conversation. This is a book I think you'll want to read. Art Thinking, How to Carve Out Creative Space in a World of Schedules, Budgets, and Bosses. You'll learn a lot. I'm learning a lot during the course of this interview. I like one of the things that you talk about, Amy, in the book is, and this will offer encouragement and perhaps dispel some of the comments that I made earlier about people in terms of being creative. And you use, for examples, these aren't my examples, they're yours, Elvis Presley, Michael Jordan. I'll let you, Dr. Seuss, I'll let you pick up on those individuals and how it pertains to what you write about.
Right. Well, so one of the saving graces is that whenever you have that feeling in life, like, oh, I've failed miserably, or the bumper of my car is held on with duct tape, figuratively speaking, you have to realize that most people who are incredibly famous and successful felt that way when they were getting started. So the good news is that our judgment is terrible and pretty fallible, generally speaking. So there's an area of the book, Stu, and I appreciate your bringing it up, that's just a laundry list of people who are super famous, but, you know, they, like Michael Jordan, was terrible at PE in high school. Fred Astaire, you know, got notes on one of his first auditions. He could kind of dance a little, but
Every time Fred Astaire's name is mentioned, I get excited. Go ahead.
Right. You know, Stephen King, Dr. Seuss, people who got so many rejections, and they, you know, they just kind of took that mindset of unsuccessful yet undeterred. It's a joke with my sister. We always say that when we're looking for on-street parking in New York. But you're like, this has not worked out already, but I'm going to keep going. And the thing that makes that possible is sort of twofold. One is you just admit that you're in the weeds. That's just what it feels like to be in the middle of something. You know, we see everyone else's creative work after the fact when it's shiny and polished. And we experience our own when it's a mess and we're just one foot in front of the other. And the other piece of that is that it means that what's really important is knowing what I call a lighthouse question, or what it is that propels you forward. Like, what's the thing that you actually care about that you're trying to do? You know, are you trying to tell stories, or are you trying to sing? What is it that kind of compels you? Fred Smith, the founder of Federal Express, is also in that section as having gotten, I think, a C on the term paper that describes the idea that became Federal Express.
Yeah, it's some of these stories are amazing. I love stories like this. And let's move away, in a sense, from I don't want to strictly talk about it as being altruistic in nature, but we all have to hope, have creativity, and use the essence of what we have. All of us greatly underuse the intellect and the emotional potential that we have. So how do people get realistic in balancing trying to bring creativity into their lives, perhaps, you know, as something that is complementary to begin with, but then you got to worry about the financial security? I mean, we live in really difficult times, financially, economically. So how do you achieve the balance?
Definitely. So if I can just pick up on one thing you just said, Stu, and then answer your question, there's a lot of generosity that is asked of people making creative work. You're usually asked to put something out there before you get something back, and that is hard. That requires vulnerability and risk. And so I think anytime you're dealing with risk, you want to be thinking in investment terms. How much time do you have to lose? How much can you afford to risk exploring? So one of the stories in the book that's a little bit more personal is when I was coming out of art school, I had this phase where I was trying to figure out my career, and I had all these interesting freelancer projects, but it was sort of like I had all throw pillows and no couch. I was like, this is great, but I need, to your point, more economic stability. So I shifted and ended up getting a full-time job and then doing projects on the side. And I wrote this book while having a full-time job working as a professor. So I viscerally get a lot of these realities. In terms of just being an individual person, the place to start is to develop what I call a studio time practice. So just find an amount of time in your schedule that you can afford to lose. I would love it if people found one meeting they could skip every other week and turn that into your studio time practice. So a bit like generalized 20% time. And then come up with a project. It can be as simple as making a set of bookends or learning a recipe a week. Or it can be a research project, like ask the question, wouldn't it be cool if, about your working life, about your personal life, about something in the world in general, and then just start to follow up. Meet friends for a beer every other week and talk about it. So many companies I know started that way. But realize that you just start small and you just start in a conversational mode. And then over time, there are a lot of tools in the book for how to design a portfolio of projects around that and how to think in terms of managing the risk, not just that you'll fail, but that you'll succeed, how to think in terms of owning part of the upside that you create. And because I think a lot of us live in a production economy where we are paid a wage, but that it's nice if we can move to a hybrid economy where we're also investors in the work that we create. And the thing about inventing point B is that, by definition, you don't know the value of what you're making ahead of time. So owning a fraction of it is a much more appropriate financial arrangement. So I'm a huge proponent of equity stakes, royalties, other ways of kind of being part of the increase in value that you contribute to.
All right. I wish we had more time, but I don't have time to go down this course with you. But if you read this book, you'll be able to learn this, as Amy Whitaker has written, the seven mindsets that make up the art thinking framework. A lot of substance here, good creative content. The book is Art Thinking, How to Carve Out Creative Space in a World of Schedules, Budgets, and Bosses. And it is published by Harper Business. You want to get a copy of it. Amy, it really has been a delight having you on. I wish you great success, and I hope we get to chat again.
Thanks so much, Stu. To a person who's invented many point Bs yourself, it's a total pleasure.
All right, thanks. It's nice to get a compliment. Laurie, did you get that compliment so we can use that as a
we got
as a
it.
Clip?
We have it.
Okay, by the way,
yeah.
Eric Bowling. Oh, sorry, you can listen to Amy. Eric Bowling, one of the five on Fox News Channel, will be here on Monday to talk about his new book, Wake Up America, which is at the top of the bestsellers list. So you won't want to miss one of my few favorites now, The Adwindling on Fox. And that's Eric Bowling. Wishing you all a great weekend. This is Stu Taylor.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.